WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Recently, Sotheby's in New York auctioned off part of the estate of the late Andy Warhol. If you missed the auction but still want a piece of the Warhol legacy, three feature films he produced are now available on home video cassette. Critic Ken Tucker has a review.
Let's return to a more innocent time, a time when I was a dewy-eyed college student eager to drink in everything that was new, that was bold, that was daring, that was avant-garde. It was a time when I and millions of other sophomores thought that Thomas Pynchon was God, that Bob Dylan was America's greatest poet. Well, that one was true for a few songs at least. But it was also a time when we believed that Andy Warhol and his disciple Paul Morrissey were making great movies. Mystic Fire Video has just released three of the Warhol-produced, Morrissey-directed movies, Flesh from 1968, Trash from 1970, and Heat from 1972. I remembered thinking that at least one of these films was terrific, but those one-word titles blurred in my mind, so I went to this trio looking to see whether they've stood the test of time. It turns out that the one I had fond memories of was Trash, starring Joe D'Alessandro and Holly Woodlawn as bisexual junkies on a bad day. Joe D'Alessandro, you may recall, was a hunky youth who spoke in a bored monotone. In John Wayne's famous dictum, he didn't act, he reacted. But John Wayne would have been appalled if he'd seen Joe groveling for a fix at the feet of a hoarse, screaming Holly Woodlawn. What Paul Morrissey managed to convey perfectly was the grubbiness of Lower East Side living as the idealistic 60s turned into the me decade. There's a dirtiness here that isn't limited to the language. Everything and everybody looks faintly soiled, smeared with the grime of big city poverty. It's not pretty, but sometimes it's funny, as in this scene, in which D'Alessandro breaks into a swanky Manhattan townhouse to steal some things for drug money and is surprised by the woman who owns the place.
Are you saying you're trying to rob me?
Yep.
Oh my God, this is the first time I've ever been robbed. You know, I'm only a rich newlywed with no furniture. You pick some hell of a person to rob, I tell you. I mean, no jewels. I only wear plastic jewelry.
I don't take it so badly. I mean, like, you know, I rob lots of people.
The only thing that we've got that's worth stealing is this damn plant. And my husband and I must pay $300 for it, and I'd like to see you get out with this, honey. By the way, are you joking?
Trash isn't the masterpiece of camp that I remember Vincent Canby raving about in the New York Times, but it's certainly not worthless. At the very least, show it to your mature teenage children as a lesson in what to avoid in life. Then when they're offered their 15 minutes of fame, they'll just say no. As for Heat and Flesh, well, folks, I've done you a valuable consumer service, the dirty work, as it were. I'm here to tell you they're skin-crawling bores. At least Heat has Sylvia Miles, the only real actress in any of these films, and the one person who succeeds in being something other than sullen or ironic. Other new video cassette releases include The Untouchables, director Brian De Palma's funny, surprising, rude, action-packed retelling of Elliot Ness versus Al Capone. It stars Kevin Costner as Ness, Robert De Niro as Capone, and Sean Connery in a supporting role that won him an Oscar. There's also Someone to Watch Over Me, a slick, slack thriller directed by Ridley Scott and starring Tom Berenger as a New York cop and Mimi Rogers as the endangered dame he's assigned to guard. The left-field recommendation of the week is the cassette debut of Fat City, John Huston's 1972 film about small-time boxers starring Stacy Keach and Jeff Bridges. The dialogue is vivid and salty, and the boxing scenes are thumpingly authentic.
Ken Tucker writes about popular culture for the Philadelphia Inquirer.